Welcome to The Habit Queen. I'm your host, Anya Perry, a work-life balance wellness coach, entrepreneur, and athlete. My goal is to help busy, driven women like you to feel incredible every day while they are pursuing their wildest dreams. If you're ready to take some powerful steps and build simple, rock-solid habits, overcome stress, and multiply your physical and mental energy, you've come to the right place. Tune in each week, and I'll be here to show you what strategies, methods, and tools you need to use in order to create beautiful, healthy, and harmonious life you adore. I truly believe that you can have it all. Thank you so much for joining, and let's begin. Hey, welcome back to the show. I've been meaning to talk about this topic for a long while. And while I love the topic myself, I've been through many phases of my life when I was thinking about success, when I was achieving success or trying to achieve success, when I was redefining success. I find it so humbling to look for someone who knows, who's done it many more times, who knows better, who teaches it. As you know, I'm a health and wellness coach. I'm not a success habits expert. And today I have a special guest on the podcast who's going to talk about it. So if you are, no matter what stage of life and status and dimension and modality and season you are, if you're looking forward to identifying what success is like for you, what's getting in your way, how can you model after someone who has done it many, many times? Today we have Amanda Faust on the podcast, who is a certified high-performance coach who helps success-driven leaders develop the daily habits and the growth-oriented mindsets that they need to gain more clarity, increase their productivity, feel more focused, feel the success they desire. She is married to the love of her life and has four beautiful children. We are going to open up a beautiful conversation. If you are feeling like you've been stuck, if you don't know where to look for support or how to be more focused, how to be more productive, how to actually reach the level of success that your soul desires. Without further ado, let's dive in. Hi, Amanda. Welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here today. And you have such an amazing story. I can't wait to share it with the world.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah. So I introduced you properly officially in the bio, but I'm curious, who is Amanda Faust? Who are you? What's your background? How did you get here?
Yes. No, I love that question. Okay. So who am I? Well, officially, like title-wise, I am a high-performance coach, but really, I just love being able to help high performers find success in their lives. And honestly, I'm a mom of four, and that's really what I love doing. So I have kids ages, she'll be 13 this week, down to 7, and helping them just like really figure out who they are and what they bring to the world is like my biggest passion. So everything else is just to support that, really.
That's incredible. You did not say that. I did not know that you're a mom of four. I don't think I've seen it on your website either. I do my homework. How did I miss that? That's amazing. No, that's amazing. Who is a high performance coach for people who are listening to the podcast? They know I talk a lot about habits, a lot about success, a lot about things that are around it. But today we're going to dive into the success habits specifically. But who is a high performance coach and how did you become one?
Yeah, great question too. So Brendon Burchard is who I am certified under. So he leads the high performance habits. He has a book about it. He talks about like the high performance habits that people need to have in order to be successful. And then a lot of those are also, people call them success habits, but I've kind of developed my own terminology around that based on my self coaching as well. So I use Brendon Burchard's terminology, but then I also use a success model as well in my coaching. So kind of a combination of the two.
Yeah. And the book is amazing. If you don't know what Amanda's referring to, it's High Performance Habits. That's the book is just like so mind blowing and so practical. And I think it's so easy to implement things he shares. He's brilliant. He's hilarious and brilliant. And I think I always associate him with a parachute story, you know, like that video of him, it's like, it's there, it's a visual, but he's an amazing guy and so genuine with his knowledge. And I love that you got a chance to bask in his energy, get certified with him. What was your personal journey like in terms of habits? What appealed to you so much that you became a coach?
Yeah, so I am somebody who really can be easily led by my feelings. Like, I can be a feeler. I don't externally express my feelings a whole lot. A lot of it's more of an internal thing. But what I was finding is that, like, I really needed to latch on to more of like the practical, science driven, that kind of thing to really grow as a person and not just like feel like I was reliant on how I felt that day or anything like that. And so what I really was drawn to with Brendon Burchard was everything he taught was science-backed about how your brain works, how your brain is wired, and how you can be in control of your mind. And so because, as somebody who felt a little bit out of control internally, just with feeling like very, I don't know, just like a lot of depth and things like that, which is a beautiful thing. But I also was like, I need to have some structure in order to really thrive. And so being able to study under Brendon, being able to understand habits, being able to understand how the mind works, like I went on and did several different certifications through like Yale University and different things like that on the science of well-being and like neuropsychology, all that kind of stuff. That was really a good balance to how I'm wired naturally, if that makes sense. So that's kind of what drew me into it.
That's awesome.
Then of course, as you're experiencing your own journey, you start to see that there's so many other people who need that too, right? And so I'm a natural developer of the people around me. So what I would do is I would have conversations with people and naturally be curious and ask questions and want to see them thrive to their highest potential too. And so being able to take what I was learning and coach others was like such a gift.
Yeah. And coaching is amazing. And I'm so glad that you're doing this, because I believe there are so many women, there's so much information out there. There are so many books that help you to personally develop yourself, but there's not enough guidance or high quality guidance for people to become successful, and not only standard definition of success, like somebody else's definition of success, but actually your own authentic expression of yourself. What do you feel like most women are missing on this path of becoming successful or implementing those habits and finding themselves also burnt out? What do you think most people are missing, most women are missing often? Because we look for a definition of success and somebody else's success. We're watching everybody else's stories. We want that house. We want that husband. We want 5 kids and a white picket fence and all of those things. But truthfully, we are so lost in the noise of do this. This is what you need. Get up at 5 a.m. or do this workout or do whatever. What do you feel like most women are missing on this path of becoming successful?
Yeah, I feel like they're missing relating their habits and their success to who they are as a person, like their identity. I think that so often we latch onto actions like, oh, what do I need to do to be successful? What do I need to, like, what habit do I need to start to be successful? And we forget about like, well, who is it that we even want to be? Because often who we want to be is this person over here and this person over here. And like, we look at the people around us, you know, on Instagram or on different things like that. And that's our definition. But if we can like really quiet that noise and really think of like our own personal identity and who we want to become, then those habits just kind of naturally happen, right? Like, I used this example earlier where I was talking about brushing your teeth, right? Like, that's a habit we all have. And if we don't, that's a whole other conversation. But none of us brush our teeth because we want to, right? It's not like I cannot wait to brush my teeth today, right? We do it because the silly thing of like, well, I don't want to be somebody who has bad breath, or I don't want to be that person in the room that doesn't brush my teeth, right? Like, that's a silly example, but that's honestly how all of habits work, right? Like, very rarely is there a habit that we wake up and we're like, I want to do this. I'm so excited to do this. Yeah. The reason why we do it is because of who we want to become. And so women, I think, forget that part. Like, we just do all the shoulds and we don't relate it back to the identity of like who we actually want to be in the future. And then when those two can align, that's when like the magic happens.
Yeah. I love that you're saying that. I started thinking about the list of habits I do. I'm like, do I actually? Yeah, I do get excited about some of them though. You know, there's some that get me really hyped
some
up in
them,
the morning. Most of them are just like, yesterday I didn't want to train at the gym. I still went. And that's what we do, because who we want to become. So how, if you are lost with your identity, this is my follow-up question for you. How do you know what you want and who you are when you constantly having this noise around you?
Yeah. And it's honestly just figuring out, like, a lot of the time it is, you can take pieces of things that you see, but I'll sometimes challenge my clients. I'll say, like, okay, we already have those people that we want to be like, right? Whether we want to or not. But usually it's not like I want to be everything about that person. There's usually character traits about them or maybe things they do. And so when you can pull that information in, and it's not a jealousy or something like that, it can instead be informative. Like, why am I drawn to this person? Oh, okay. It's an informative way of seeing there's something in them that maybe I'm missing that I would like to have. Not because there's something wrong with me or anything like that, but just because maybe, like, patience or something is not my virtue. That's an example. Yeah, just like looking at people, instead of looking at people around you like, oh, I wish I could be more like that, instead of using it as like, why am I drawn to that, and starting to formulate who you want to be in that way. Brendon Burchard has 3 different categories he says to look at when it comes to identity. One of those things is self, like, who is it you want to be? So picking 3 words of who you want to be. Then there is service, like, of others. So how do you want to serve others? How do you want other people to, what do you want them to say about you? If somebody were to be talking about me in a room that I wasn't in, how do I want them to describe me? And then the other one is, like, skill set. So what skill sets do you want to have in the world so that you can be more successful or develop yourself? So those are, like, 3 areas to think about when you're thinking identity.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this now, you're like, I don't even know where to start on success because I don't know what I want. Because I often hear that sometimes clients come to me and they're hesitant about expressing what they want. That would be a good place to start. So you're saying to model in a way, to pick those qualities and model after someone and take what you want and kind of build your own puzzle.
Yeah. And exactly. And I wouldn't say model after someone, because again, we want to be individuals. It's more like picking things after out of each person and kind of creating your own identity from that and what feels right. And that also, like, checking in with yourself, because maybe sometimes, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but sometimes I'll be like, oh, I know this is what I want. Like, this is an example recently where I would be envious of people who got to travel for work. I was like, I want to travel for work. I want to be paid to go and speak at these things or go experience whatever. And the last 2 years, I have done so much of that. And I am like, this is not what I thought this was going to be. Like, I'm a mom of 4 kids, so I try to do it, like, very short spurts. But even then, I'm like, this isn't what I thought, right? And so do I want to continue with the identity of, like, I travel and I, you know, do all that? Not really, because it's not exactly what I thought it was going to be. So be okay with, like, shifting things around. It's not like an identity is for life.
Yeah. And I feel like it's okay to give yourself that space to grow, because what you wanted 2 years ago, honestly, I can still relate to this, because I did travel for work as well. And I glamorized it so much and I could not stand it. Also corporate. So it was not as fun, you know, it's just
that's different.
It's different. Yeah. And it was still not something I expected at all. And that's why I didn't become a consultant. I became a coach.
I'm like, wait, where are all these, like, exotic pictures coming from all these people? Because I'm, like, in meetings and in trainings, and you know what I mean? So
So if we were to talk about success habits, what do you think we need to focus on when we start building success habits?
Yeah. So I teach the success model because after working with a bunch of high performers, which I'm assuming you're a high performer too, I feel like I already can tell that about you. So many high performers would come to me just wanting to scale. They wanted to scale their business, or they wanted to scale their personal growth. And they just jumped to that step. And they weren't building a foundation for sustainable scaling. Again, whether that was personal life or within their business. And so as high performers, we've got to, like, almost backtrack and really build that foundation for success. And so what I was finding is I mapped it out with, like, each letter of success standing for a different word. So the first step would be self-awareness. And that's, like, key, because again, if you're building a life or building habits that don't actually align with who you are or who you want to be, then you're going to end up getting there and thinking, where am I? Like, what? How did I get here? This isn't even where I wanted to go, right? So self-awareness, and then also understanding who you are, so that as you hit obstacles along the way, because that's you know, always going to happen when you're trying to reach your goals. You know, okay, well, this is how I'm wired, or this is kind of how I operate. So this is how I'm going to approach this situation. Just like really understanding yourself, which that's the next one in success model is understanding. So like knowing who you are, knowing what you want, the direction you want to go. And so then the next step is clarity. And so clarity comes when you understand yourself and when you understand where you want to go. And then the next step would be courage. And courage comes as a result of clarity, right? I mean, that's just like a scientific fact. When you're clear, you're more courageous because you're like, I know exactly who I am and what I want to do. And so then the next three all kind of happen as a result of that. So engaging is the next step in the model. And engaging is like, this is when you're ready to take action. So again, high performers want to jump to action and they want to jump to scaling. But if you can do like the self-awareness, understanding, clarity, and courage, then when you're ready to take action, you're like totally on track. You're taking the right actions. You're not just doing things that you're like, oh, what am I even doing here? Why did I just do that? Like you're doing the right actions. It's not just busy work. And then after you take the action, you're more likely to find solutions, which is the second to last S. And the solutions aren't just in your business. It's also in your life too. Like you could be having a problem for the longest time and trying to get through that problem. But if you're not self-aware, if you don't have clarity, if you don't know the right actions to engage in, then you really struggle finding those solutions. And then after all that, the last S is scale, which is what we all ultimately want, is to scale our success. And then it kind of repeats the process, because when you hit that scaling, then you have to kind of have a whole other new experience of self-awareness because you're at a different level. So that's kind of the model that I teach along with the high performance habits.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So what do you think, like when someone comes to you, maybe have an example to share, like you used the model and how did it work for her or him? What do you think? Like, how does the process work and how do you break it down? And what do you focus on? Are you focusing on taking care of yourself? Are you focusing on work performance? Are you focusing, what parts are you focusing on?
Yeah. So a lot of times when a client comes to me, and I'll use a female specifically for the sake of the podcast, we're talking about women here, but she will come to me and say like, I want to hit this revenue goal, or I want, I want this in my business. I want more clients or whatever. And I'm always kind of backtrack. And we start with like the self-awareness, like I said, where we'll start to do some of those personality assessments and we'll start to do different models, like the clarity model I mentioned earlier that Brené Burchard does with like, you know, self, your service, your skill set, all of that, really figuring out who she is, and then spending time understanding it, right? Because like those assessments are worth nothing if you don't actually dive into them and figure it out and like learn to understand it. It's not just a, you know, oh, I'm this Enneagram type or I'm this on the disc. Like that doesn't matter if you don't really fully understand it. And a lot of times we need support and understanding because we're just too close to it ourselves. Like I know for me, I'm an Enneagram 4, but I don't show up like that in the world. Like no one ever believes me when I say that who's close to me. They're like, wait, you're a 4? I don't believe you. I'm like, no, I really am. But it's because I had somebody like bring that to my attention and like walk me through what that meant. Because honestly, that was the type that I thought I was the least when I was trying to explore my own personal self-awareness. I dismissed the type 4. I'm like, there's no way I'm that, you know, I just kind of, because, you know, they're always stereotyped as like really moody and like crying a lot, emotional, all of that. And I was just like, I don't do that. So I'm not a 4. And it's like, well, no, I'm very emotional internally and I have a lot of feelings and I do want to be special. Like that's, I'm very like motivated by being significant and individualist and all of that. So having somebody help you through self-awareness is really important, and that understanding. And once you have that clarity, just comes. And I can't tell you how many times I have coached a woman who had a completely different direction after we went through that self-awareness and understanding what she came to me with. Like she came to me with, this is what I want. And then after the exploration part, it was like, oh wait, no, that's actually not what I want at all. This is what I want instead. And so then we're able to go that direction. Whereas if we would have just jumped into what she said she wanted, then that would have been kind of a waste of time. And honestly, I've done that before. Before I developed this model, I would kind of let the client lead years ago, where I'd be like, okay, this is what you want. This is what we're going to do. And then years later, they'd say, that wasn't what I wanted at all. Like, now I'm, you know, I thought I wanted this. Now I'm doing this instead. And they didn't blame me for that or anything, but we could have made a lot more progress had we that scarcity mindset, insecurity, all of that, to like massive courage and just so much confidence. That's usually what happens after the clarity part. No. And so, yeah, so then they naturally experience that courage. And then it's really cool, because then it's like they skyrocket through the action. And I personally, I've worked with a coach for years. And I personally, when I hired this coach, was like, okay, I'm just ready to dive in. I'm ready to take action. Tell me what to do. That coach, thankfully, was like, no, we don't do that. Like, we have to start with these other things first, and then we work our way in. And so learning that has really helped me in my own coaching process, because I'm the same way now. Like, the self-awareness, understanding, clarity, courage, that there's no action in that other than like your personal self, right? Like that internal thing. There's not going out and doing all of these action steps that they think they need to do to scale. But once they do those things, then the next few weeks in the program, they just are skyrocketing, because they're so confident and like sure of themselves, you know?
Yeah. I actually love it so much. I don't think anybody ever shared this with me in like in the spoken word on the podcast, or any people I'm in my circles, you know, of all of us high performance achievers and all. I feel like it's so important that you said that you don't jump into action right away, because that's where I feel like we mess up so much there, because we are skipping the steps that are actually crucial. I was just catching up with a client this morning who spent 6 months with me, and then 3 or 4 months on her own. And then we have like a booster in a way session to kind of catch up and see like how things are going. And for her, she came extremely overwhelmed, stressed out, angry, frustrated, and then was able to take responsibility. And not that she wanted to lose weight, she wanted to go to the gym, she wanted to X, Y, Z, so many, change the job, all of that. But she actually took the time to take care of her inner state and mental state and get clear on who she was, the new roles and all of that. And then it's sustainable success. Now I see what she's doing. She's moving boulders now because she took the time. And actually, and I feel like that's why you and I probably know, not probably, we know, that's why most diets fail. That's why most business programs and those band-aid patches solutions fail, because we don't get in touch with ourselves, and we don't get in touch with our authentic selves, the expression of ourselves. And we also don't actually look at the individual aspects of it. Like, what is clarity for me? What is understanding for me? Who am I? You know, we skip that part because we see as something, a shiny object we want, and we go for it. I'm curious, what are your personal habits? When maybe it's going to be like a wide, broader question. What are you feel like the habits I can't live without? Those qualify me for being successful in my own definition of success.
Yeah, it's so funny you asked that. My husband and I were just on a long trip last week. And I remember halfway through, he's like, we have way too many habits to be travelers, because to bring our like habits into our like travel life, he's like, it just does not work. And he was kind of right. And he's right and wrong at the same time. Like, obviously, if you are a traveler, you should be able to like bring your habits anywhere. But at the same time, we had developed so many things that we were like, oh my gosh, we can't do this here because we forgot that at home, and we forgot, you know? So anyway, there is a lot. I'll try to be like quick with what a few of the standout ones are. But in the morning, I would say like my habit, the best habit I have is like my morning routine. So I wake up, like, I don't agree that everyone should wake up early, because I hate when people say everyone who's successful wakes up early. I disagree with that. There's been seasons I don't wake up early, but right now I'm in a season I do, because my kids are home and it's the only time I have without all four of them around for the day. So I wake up and I have this like vitamin drink that I drink. I'm not an affiliate for it. It's not like I don't sell it, whatever. It's just like a drink that is really good for to getting all your vitamins for the day. And I am all about efficiency. I'm like, if I can drink a drink and get everything I need for the day, like, good to go. Wakes me up all the things. So I drink that first thing before I even get out of bed. And then I I have a quiet time in my living room. I like light a candle. I personally am a Christian, so I do some prayer time, but I know it's not for everybody, but I do think everybody should do some sort of reflection quiet time before they start the day. And then I have a planner called the Highest Potential Planner. And that is just like 5 minutes where I fill it out really fast. I set my intentions for the day. I define what success looks like, because I think that's something that a lot of people don't do. So then they get to the end of the day and they're like, man, I don't feel like I did enough, or I don't feel like, you know, fill in the blank. And it's because they didn't really define what success looked like. Whereas if they were to say, success to me today looks like, you know, feeling joy, or it looks like connecting with somebody, on a deep level, or just something like really brief, then you can get to the end of the day and be like, huh, I did it. Like, we're good to go, you know? Yeah. So there's different aspects of the planner, but I fill that out really fast. And then I usually try to set intentions for the day through that, write out my schedule. I try to connect with someone too. That's a habit as well. So this may be taking a little bit too far, but I love to make a list every month of like people I really want to be intentional with connection with. And then each morning I try to like send a text, or I send like, I don't know if you have the Voxer app, but it's like a audio app where you can connect that way. I'll try to send a little encouraging word or just something. And so I do that because I'm extroverted and I love to have connection. And then I wake up my kids and we start the day. So that's really important. And if I oversleep, that doesn't happen. I feel like everything's thrown off.
Yeah.
So
that's amazing. I love your routine. Yeah. It sounds like it's not rigid. That's kind of tailored to you. What do you want? What do you like? What it looks like for you. So it's rejuvenating. And yes, it's not taken too far. I also make a list at the beginning of the month of people I want to connect with, even though I'm an introvert. So yeah, I absolutely love that. And it's just kind of picking one person. Do I want to see them if they're local? Do I want to connect with them on Zoom? If they're my best friend, like let's schedule a coffee chat. And I love that so much because people don't expect, you know, like staying in touch and just thinking connection is one of the things we're missing so much considering all things that went down lately. So I love that you're finding the time to connect with yourself and also reach out to others. Yeah. So if you were to tell I don't want to say piece of advice, but let's imagine someone, I'm imagining myself many years ago when I am so hardcore driven by success, by recognition, and I'm feeling burnt out, which I have experienced 3 times. In my life. And if you were, I'm curious about your take, you know this, right? That feeling of you're like, I really want to juggle all of this, but I am tapping myself out. I am really, really stretching myself thin, but all of those habits and I can't drop them. No, I will go to the gym. Yes, I will meditate. And all of that stops serving you. Because I see many women like that right now, right? In the business world, there's a lot of burnouts going on. There's a lot of fallout coming up with businesses, and it's going to change how small businesses are run, how women treat themselves. I'm curious. I'm taking my time to get to the question. I'm curious, what would you say to a woman like that? How would you guide someone who feels so overwhelmed, stretched thin, who is a high performer, but feels like everything is starting to burn?
Well, first of all, I would say it goes back to kind of the beginning part of the model with like the self-awareness. So starting to like understand where you're at in your burnout process, right? Like, I mean, it doesn't just happen. You're not just like burnout, like it's a process, right? And so when you start to feel yourself like being more tired or being more resentful towards maybe your habits or your work or anything that you have to do, right? That's what usually happens during burnout is resentment is pretty strong towards anything that is taking your time or energy. When you start to find that happens, start that self-awareness process. I actually was going to say that about my morning routine is sometimes that morning routine that I explained is an hour and a half. Sometimes it's 2 hours. Sometimes it's 5 minutes because that's all I have. And I'm still trying to do those components, but it's like a smaller scale. So if I'm trying to, you know, we'll use the planner as an example. Sometimes I fill out that whole page in my planner and I'm feeling good. Sometimes I just write my gratitude because that's all I can do that day because I need to rest. And so just starting to be like, okay, how can I dial back these habits to where I'm not doing them at all? Because we don't want to break that consistency, because that's what a habit is, right? It's developed through consistency, but more like, how can I do that in a way that's like scaling back to where I'm protecting myself? I know a habit that women don't do enough is scheduled rest time. We always rest when we're burnout. We're always rest when it's, we've gone too far. I guess I shouldn't speak for all women, but I feel like that's pretty common. And so I always tell my clients, like, you have to schedule in rest, or rest is going to like force you to do it. And it's not going to be like in your time frame, or like, it's not even going to be a good rest, because it's just going to be like, you're burnt out. That's never a good rest. And so, when I know that I'm in a season where I need to dial it back, I just take my habits and do them a little less intensely, but I still try to do them consistently.
Yeah. Yeah. And 100% I agree with you. The rest is going to be putting you in bed. That's not a good kind of rest, right? Like, you're sick, or if you just like can't take care of anybody else. And I love that you're a master of scaling, because I do agree with you. There are moments in my schedule where I have 3 days, 3 hours, not 3 days, 3 hours in the morning where I can literally relax and do nothing. And there are days when you get up and you start doing things, but finding that pocket of time for yourself and still doing a mini version of your favorite routine. Yeah. That is awesome. Would you tell us a bit more about your journal, the high performance journal, right? I think it's a journal.
So it's called the Highest Potential Planner. It is, no, that's totally fine. A lot of people think it's a journal too, because there's a lot of mindset stuff. So honestly, you can use those terms interchangeably, but I love it because it's 90 days, which that's usually about how long they say it takes to start a habit. They're saying about 60 days now, but 90 days, I guess, maybe gives you an extra month, but that's like a quarterly plan, right? And so it's all undated, which is really great, because I know so many of my clients, when I would give them a different planner, before I developed mine, I always gave my clients planners, because I'm like, we got to keep track of our progress. And they would be like, well, I missed a day. Like, now I can't open it because I just feel bad. Or like, I didn't use half the planner. And I'm like, okay, this is a common thing here. We got to just make this undated so you can literally dive in anytime. Like last week when I was gone, I didn't use my planner because I didn't need to. My day was like completely, like, it was a vacation, right? So I didn't need my planner. But I dove back in this week and didn't leave any pages blank, because I could just start over. And so I love that. And then there is a month section, a week section, and a daily section. And nice. So every month I just go in and I fill out the plan for the month. There's a reflection for the previous month, so you can make sure that you don't bring things into the month that you don't want to bring in, whether that's mindset or actions. And then also setting intentions for goals, so you can look back and be like, oh my gosh, look, I did more than I thought. Or, oh, I didn't do this, I need to put this into the next month. And then same with weeks, very similar concept, but just like not as intense. And then the days are your schedule mapped out, your top three things you need to do, and then some reflection questions as well. And then I do have a habit tracker, of course, because, you know, as a habits coach.
Yeah, that's right. So, the habit queen. That's for sure. I love trackers. They're so awesome. Yes. Yeah, I'll make sure to tag it. Sounds amazing to me. I can't wait to check it out. And I'll make sure to tag it in the show notes so people can go.
I'd love to send you one if you just want to send me your address, like just as a thank you for having me on the podcast. Gosh,
that's so sweet of you. Yeah, I'm obsessed. I'm a person who usually has like a change of how it changes. You know, you have different seasons. I've had the Brandon Burchard. I loved his planner too. But at some point I was like, okay, I'm done with this method. I'm going to change it up. New season in my life. And right now it's just the journal and bullet journal. That's what I'm enjoying right now. But I do have
a... Yes, I love bullet journal.
Clever Fox, I think they make really good planners too, like really, really neat, organized, but it can't be too much. You know, sometimes there's a season when you want three pages there, weekly, monthly, and daily. That's it.
And that's the thing, is I really loved Brendon Burchard's planner too, I'm not gonna lie, and that was the planner I always gave away, and I still think it's wonderful. But what was happening is I was promoting that one all the time, and so many people were like, it's just too much, I can't stick with all the things in the morning and all the things in the evening. And I was getting a lot of feedback. It was almost like market research I wasn't even trying to get. And then I had all this information. I'm like, well, why don't I just create my own? I'm already giving them out. I'm already, you know, it's less like, oh, this is my product and this is the thing I do. And it's more just like, this is a tool that I just want to be able to help people with. Yeah. So
That's incredible that you developed that. It's so courageous, just like take an idea and, you know, do something different. I love that. I wanted to ask you about self-care, because I always ask habit queens on this podcast, because I have these hardcore achievers that do have amazing routines that support them on all levels. I want to ask you about self-care, and because you brought up rest, what do you feel like self-care is for you? And what do you tell your clients what self-care needs to be for them?
Yes. Okay. So a lot of people, I feel like there's this whole self-care culture thing that came out. I don't even know how long it's been out, but it's always talking about, you know, like going and getting a massage or a bubble bath, or, you know, like taking a walk, that kind of thing. And that's great. Like, there's some people where that's totally self-care for them, but this goes back to the self-awareness part of, like, sometimes that's not self-care for everyone. So for example, my husband, he loves to just, like, if he's going to rest, he wants like several hours in bed where no one's bothering him. And he's just like chilling. He loves to just like be alone in bed, all that kind of thing. And that's self-care. I get so bored. I'm like, I don't want to be in bed unless I'm like dying or like I broke my leg. Like, I don't know. I just don't want to do that. And so if that was self-care for me, then I would not ever feel cared for. So instead I had to do some self-awareness and realize that for me, I really value connection. I really value getting together with people, having really in-depth conversations. And so, you know, figuring out what is it that makes you come alive? What is it that, like, when you leave that scenario, whether that is like a spa or whether that's a coffee with a friend, like, what makes you come alive and how can you schedule that in intentionally? So again, you're not in this reactive mode of, oh my gosh, I'm burnt out, now I have to like care about myself, but instead being like, okay, I've been really proactive. I've scheduled this in every week, so I'm feeling really filled up, you know, most of the time.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you said that it makes you feel alive. That's what self-care should feel like, right? And it can be just sitting outside staring at, you know, at the tree.
It doesn't have to be hard. There's no like formula for self-care other than how does it make you feel, and do you feel drained by this activity or do you feel filled up by it?
Yeah, I love that, Amanda. I love that you share so much around as well. Not only that, this is how you achieve success, these are the habits for success, but there is so much depth around what you teach. And I'm curious how women can find you, what you have going on in your business. And after this question, we're going to have a rapid fire I didn't warn you about. So.
Oh, good. I'm ready. Bring it up. No, I'm just kidding. My website is www.highperformanceinsider.com. And so the reason why I called it High Performance Insider is because those are like what I call my people, like those who are on my email list, those who are in my community, is they're insiders of high performance. And so on there, you'll find my planner on there. You'll also find my coaching. And then my husband and I just started High Performance Couples, and that is going to be coming out soon. We're already coaching couples just naturally because it just organically started to happen. And now we're like, oh, we should probably start posting about this. So we'll be sharing more about that soon.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. And I'm excited that you're coaching couples, because I feel like there are more and more power couples that come together and just want to share this, but don't know how. And there are not many resources for couples. So that's incredible. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go with the rapid fire. So a really, really quick one. Ready?
Yes.
Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Awesome. We can be friends. A book that changed your life. Oh, they booked.
Cool. This is my most recent one, but I'm book crazy. I love Who Not How right now. And I can't remember the author of it. I think it's Dan Sullivan, but I could be wrong. But Taking Who notes. Not How has been a game changer.
Taking notes. Awesome. Yeah. And I love beach or mountain vacation.
Oh, we're going to mountains next week. I would have to say mountains.
Mountains. Okay. Favorite TV show, a Netflix show.
Oh, Schitt's Creek.
Oh gosh, we could definitely are meant to meet, honestly. I love that. A song, a walk-on song on stage when you're pumping yourself up.
Oh, when I have to sing when I'm on stage?
No, when you walk on stage, like a walk-on song, you know, when someone is coming out and the music is playing for them. Like, you're a famous person, Amanda.
Oh, okay. So when this happens, not if, when, no, just kidding. There's that, this popped into mind probably because I've been seeing it on Reels, but I don't even know who does it. It's like Ready, Let's Go or something. It's like, ready, are you ready? Let's go. And then there's like this big band that plays.
Oh, yeah.
I just feel like that would be like the happy one. I don't know.
I love that. Your biggest pet peeve.
My biggest pet peeve. Probably service level conversations.
Oh gosh, we definitely are. You're my soulmate. And a beverage. It can be anything, you know, caffeinated or alcoholic or just a beverage.
Yes, 100% chai tea. That's like, I have chai tea every single day, but it's got to be the powder. I can't do the tea bags.
Interesting. Yeah. What brand do you use? Now I'm curious.
Yeah, I need to look at what it's called. I literally have Amazon send it to my door every single month. Like, I literally do the last scoop and then the Amazon package is on my door for the next day. Like, that's how ridiculous I am about it.
But that's adorable. You are the habit queen, huh?
Great. Subscribe and save. Great way to have a habit on Amazon.
Awesome. I love this so much. This was so fun. And thank you for bearing. We had some technical stuff going on. And Amanda's been, we just met literally, and she's been a champion battling us and showing up for us. And it was so awesome to bask in your energy and learn these things that, you know, I learn every time from someone on the podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me and for sticking it out with me through the technology.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.